The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors, nor of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, which is solely responsible for its content. Hey, all you role players, grab your milk and cookies and listen up. It's time for another episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a weekly show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, tips, interviews, and reviews for the community by the community.
Hi, I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
Hey, and I'm Trey, a.k.a. Ashokan Zelo, bringing you episode number 23.
Recorded live on Wednesday, April 18th, for the week of April 20th, 2007.
We've got lots of news this week, Jay.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happened, and then they didn't happen.
I think the biggest thing that hit the airways was Obsidian announces NWN2 expansion pack.
Yeah, I think it's the Mask of the Betrayer is a new expansion that they're going to be coming out with. I think it's slotted for fall of 2007, if I remember reading the review correctly.
So we're going to talk about that later in the show?
Yep. There was a patch 105, but then there wasn't. It kind of reminds me of Stargate episodes. They did a Stargate episode where they said, they're dead again, no they're not, yes they are, no they're not. And all night long they showed episodes of where people were thought to be dead but brought back. This is the second time we've had the patch. It's been released. No, it's not. It's released. No, it's not. So,
they love to tease us.
Evidently so. So 105 was there, but then it's gone again.
And we like to be teased.
Yeah, we're also going to give you an update on the module of the year. Is this the results or in, I guess?
Yeah, the results of the module of the year 2006. Hey, we got some listener feedback. I guess last episode we mentioned Sanctum of the Archmage.
Right.
Over at Adarian.net, and Adarian was so kind to get on our forums and thank us.
We got a comment from Halloween Foxy that I thought was real interesting that I wanted to pass along. He said, downloaded and listened to and emailed to people in Iraq. Did you know the guys there can't listen to you because of site restrictions? Which I was not aware of that at all. Anyway, she's finished up saying, anyway, great work and decently difficult question for once, too. And I'm sure she's referring to the contest question, which we'll have coming up later. Number four will be to this episode, so this will be the final question. So anyway, I wanted to pass it along because I thought it was really interesting that people in Iraq are listening to us, and they can't get to it because of site restrictions. So thanks, Halloween Foxy, for sending those over for them.
Well, I found the post that Adarian left. Thanks for talking about my mod series, Sanctum of the Archmage, in episode 22. It was a real kick to listen to. You did a great job of pulling teasers from the website to give a good flavor for the saga. And then he goes, I think you'll find this humorous, Jay. I'm a goer.
Yes. So, that was in reference to the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, say no more. Monty Python.
So I'll definitely record a mod spot for you for the show. Hey, we also got a word of thanks from Kayla over at NWN2 Warcry, which is the first time I think she's been on our website. I'm sure she has, but posted anything anyway. Just wanted to drop you guys a note of thanks for all you do in the NWN2 community. These podcasts are terrific and unique in a somewhat oversaturated NWN world. I just wanted to let you know of my appreciation for your work. Well, we really appreciate that, Kayla. I replied back and said we really appreciate those encouraging words. So that's excellent.
I hear we got an audio.
Oh yes, we did.
Audio from Lingo. A Lingo audio.
Hi guys, this is Lingo from Batavia, Illinois, and I have a question about Neverwinter Nights 1 mods. My son and I are wanting to do some mods, and he's a newbie, so I would like to find some that are more in line with his skill set. So if you could suggest some, that would be terrific. Thanks a lot, and have a great one. Level up!
I did go out and do some searching on the vault for Lingo. By the way, Lingo, really appreciate the audio question. Loved it. I went out and did a search in the vaults. And since you were wanting to play this with your son, I don't think he... Did he say how old his son was? He didn't say, did he?
I don't think he did, no.
So I went in and I did a search on the NWN modules on the Neverwinter Nights vault.
Right.
And I put... I answered single or multiplayer on the single or multiplayer criteria. I put no DM required. And for content rating, I put everyone. And I did language, English. Oh, and I did Hall of Fame, yes. Hall of Fame, yes, sorry. I did Hall of Fame, yes. Single player, multiplayer, no DM required. English for the language.
Okay, so let's run through this one more time because I'm doing this on my side too. So going down the form here, what's the first one you set? Hall of Fame, set to yes. Then you went down to single or multiplayer, which is about 8 down, and set that to mm-hmm. single player or multiplayer. Then you
Correct.
Said DM needed. You said no DM required.
Mm. Correct.
And then you set further on down content rating, everyone, and then right. language, English. And you ran your that search. Okay.
And that returns 43 matches.
Yes.
I guess my answer for Lingo is to go out here and do a search and make sure you pick Hall of Fame, and you're going to find probably some pretty good modules that you can play with your son. What do you think, Joe?
Looks like there's some good options on here. Because that was Neverwinter Nights 1. Neverwinter Nights 1 episode, or modules.
Right, and I believe that's his question, was just Neverwinter Nights 1.
Case it was Neverwinter Nights 2, you also did a search on Neverwinter Nights 2 as well, did you?
Yeah, and I only came back with, I think, 4 when I did it that time.
We'll make sure we get the links to these two search engines, module search engines, on the vault in our show notes so you can... check that out. That should allow you to narrow down the modules to the range that you're wanting it for your son or yourself there, Lingo, and hopefully that'll help you find some modules.
So what did you find out about the new expansion pack?
Okay, the expansion pack has been announced for Neverwinter Nights 2 called Mask of the Betrayer. It says that it features engrossing new campaign, epic levels, new companions, and much more. It was on April 12th the press release came out from Atari. It said one of the world's most recognized brands and third-party video game publisher today announced the development of the next chapter in the Neverwinter Nights saga, Neverwinter Nights 2, Mask of the Betrayer. Developed by Obsidian Entertainment, the expansion to the award-winning Neverwinter Nights 2 is set in the Dungeons & Dragons Forgotten Realms universe created by Wizards of the Coast, a subsidiary of Hasbro, yada, 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 we know all that part. With Neverwinter Nights 2, Mask of the Prayer will be available in North America in the fall of 2007. It says, in the Neverwinter Nights 2, Mask of the Betrayer, players are transported back to the Forgotten Realms shortly after the events detailed in the original Neverwinter Nights 2. Following the climactic battle against the King of Shadows, the player awakens alone and stranded deep beneath the earth. Surrounded by a horde of evil spirits, the player embarks on an epic adventure that reveals his true destiny. Atari's commitment to the Neverwinter Nights franchise and the enormous community is strong, said, I must say, Nick Fayors, NIQUEFAJORS. That's Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Atari. He went on to say, we are on track to release the Neverwinter Nights 2 expansion pack this fall, less than 1 year since the launch of Obsidian's outstanding sequel, and are confident the new features will deliver a role-playing experience that further engages and satisfies fans.
And it goes on to say that it's set in the harsh, spirit-rich Rashomon near the powerful nation of Thay. Mask of the Betrayer will present players with an exciting new campaign, epic levels, dozens of new feats and spells, new races, base classes and prestige classes, new companions, new weapons, armor and crafting options, hordes of new monsters.
Yeah, it's also, he says, a new improved influence system that they use both on Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, the Sith Lords, and Neverwinter Nights 2, so... Good. Maybe we'll get some more of those critters that we've been missing from Neverwinter Nights 1 back.
I came across an NWN 1 news post on the vault about Alboria. They're in need of adventurers. Check that out. Alboria is based on Faerun and uses the NWN1 game with all the expansions and CEP2. Expect the unbelievable. Play a goblin, an org, or even a quicklaner pixie with areas suitable for levels 1 to uber epic. No kidding. That's what it says. Uber epic. No kidding. I'd like to see you survive in the crypt of the Underdark while you're trying to get enough components to turn your powerful mage into a lich. Complete the transformer of a character or ride a holy horse that will fight with you if necessary, just like having your own personal henchman. You can also ride a dragon to get from place to place, like the magic plane, if you have the power to travel from city to city. That sounds interesting. Goes on to say it's a complete world quest that is persistent and will take many weeks to finish, not to mention the class quest or the 600. Yes, 600 areas to explore.
Wow, this is huge.
Alboria has been online for the past 4 years and has grown to amazing proportions. So big, in fact, that DMs are rarely needed. They're there, but mostly to help the wandering adventurer that might have got lost. So if you think you have the courage, a little challenge there, if you think you have the courage, come and visit us at Alboria.
So they're located under the Persistent World category?
Under PW Action.
Yeah.
Alboria, the Bottled World, or use the Direct Connect, alboria.dynu.com, :5121.
So I haven't checked to see if they've re-released patch 105 again. But I noticed that it had been released on April 11th and then pulled on April 11th. I think you and I both kind of come across that at the same time.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, the reason it was pulled says, here's a news article on the Vault. Said, thanks to Rick for pointing out that the 105 patch for Neverwinter Nights 2 has some issues related to the tool set. And Obsidian has pulled it for now and issued this statement. And then you follow that link, you come up to... Rob McGinnis posted on Wednesday, the 11th of April, at about 3:50, said, there seems to be an issue with the tool set update, so we are pulling the patch for the moment. We should have it back up shortly. And then, see, on April 11th, they said, I would wait to see if you actually have issues patching before reinstalling. There was another post earlier. So that's the last one on there. So we haven't seen anything saying that they've reposted it. So,
actually, it says right here, April 17th, new and improved 105 patch available. Fully, for real. It says that on the Vault.
Oh,
that
good.
Was posted on the 17th.
Cool.
Which was yesterday, and they provide a link to it. So let's look down here. It shows some new features. A beta implementation of multi-select is now available as an option in both the DM client and the main game client. By default, mouse 4 will select the entire party, and mouse 5, or holding control and left click, will enable lasso selection of party members. We're planning to continue to revise and improve our multi-select functionality in future patches. There is now an advanced options button on the server options panel. Server administrators can specify two URLs in this menu, one intended to point to their server's homepage, if it has one, and one intended to directly point to the server's latest PWC file.
Oh, here's a good one. The chat window is no longer cleared after an area transition. That was one we brought up. I don't know if they heard it from us or they had already had it on their list, but I know that's one that was a pet peeve of mine. Yeah. So if you were talking to somebody or someone sent you a tell right as you clicked on a door, once you got in there, it would be gone. Your whole chat window would be empty.
Bug fixes. The QuickCast menu was blocking movement clicks for an entire area. Feats now properly show their cooldown timer countdown.
And then the DM client had the same DM chat toggle could previously not be turned back on after it was turned off. And they fixed that.
spears now give the proper 3x critical damage multiplier, and female drow clerics would be previously forced to pick a new deity at level up if they selected Loth during character creation. That has been fixed. Anything there interesting in the toolset section?
They just look like they picked up some fixes for the syntax highlighter and a couple of functions. That's about all. Not a whole lot there. I think patch 106 is supposed to be a lot of heavy stuff for the tool set, where I think, if we remember last time we talked to Ryan, he was saying that 105 was going to be a lot of UI fixes, which it looks like it is.
Okay, so...
Several 2DA files have been updated.
So I guess as of yesterday, version 1.05.912 is it patches out.
There is one known issue here that they've got down here, that the multi-select feature conflicts with the free camera mode. So using the control keys to lasso a group also causes the camera to move. So let's get into the results of the Module of the Year 2006 award.
Okay.
Now I'm trying to look here on and see, make sure how they ranked them. They got a Module of the Year 2006 went to A Dance with Rogues Part 1 and 2 by Valine.
I read down through some of these. This sounds like a very interesting mod.
2006 Gold Award went to The Darkness Over Daggerford by Osion Studios.
Oh, I will say that first one that won is for adults only.
Ooh.
Contains graphical and verbal nudity.
The 2006 Silver Award was Exile of the West, Bastard of Kasijan, Episode 1, by Fabian Cerruti. I hope I pronounced that right. And the 2006 Bronze Award went to Werven Crown of Cormyr Premium Module by the DLA BioWare team. So congratulations to all the winners. And they've issued a thanks to everyone who participated in the voting. The final voting results can be viewed on IGN's Neverwinter Nights vault. They have a full list of all the entrants there, which we've talked about and interviewed some of these mod developers. I was kind of surprised to see, though, that the Module of the Year and the Silver Award were modules I hadn't heard of. And I don't know, maybe because I was living under a rock or what, but Darkness Over Daggerford and Werven Crown of Cormyr Premium Module both were promoted pretty heavily when they were released, so I'm assuming the other two were released previous to that.
Possibly.
Because I just maybe wasn't on my radar at the time, so I'm going to have to go check those out.
Well, you know, that adult rating on Dance with the Rose Part 1 and 2 might have something to do with what reason it won.
Well, that's another reason why I can't figure out how I didn't know about it.
Oh! Say no more. So there's some interesting ones here. The Light Reborn Legends by Bruce. I got 5 votes.
Wow, that Dance of Rogues Part 1 and 2 actually was almost double.
It just blew everybody away.
Yeah, it blew them completely away. It had 133 votes, where Darkness Over Daggerford had 75 votes and Exile of the West 74 votes. So the number 2 spot was really close between those two modules.
Yep.
And then split those in half, and you get down to 38 votes with the Werven Crown of Cormyr Premium Module by the DLA team coming in with 38 votes. And then Rose of Eternity, I've heard Lisa or Michelle talk about that one. That was a really good module that she enjoyed. It was in fifth place with 32.
Yes, and actually we're going to have him in an upcoming interview here. Hopefully.
Cool. Yeah, that'll be a good one to hear about.
We'll talk to Chalice.
So, there was anything on that. I don't think if you picked one off that list, you'd pick a bad mod.
Nope. So, congratulations to A Dance with Rogues, Part 1 and 2. Well, Jay, guess what it's time for?
Ooh, could it be another question?
Question number 4.
Okay, the Neverwinter Nights podcast teams up with Gallows Bird to bring you a Neverwinter Night podcast exclusive contest. This week we're going to have question 4. That's the fourth and final question.
And so, then we're going to have a bonus question.
Yes, they
sent right?
a bonus question. This one is going to be about Gallows Bird. So hopefully you guys have been taking notes, keeping up track with your questions and your answers from the previous episodes. If not, you can go back and listen to those episodes and get caught up.
Send in a comment and tell us if you've got the answers.
Right. Well, actually, we'll be ready for you after this one. You'll have all four questions and hopefully all four correct answers. And you'll be able to send those to us at show@neverwinternightspodcast. Then we're going to randomly draw four winners from everyone that sent in the correct answers. And what are we going to do with those winners, Trey?
Throw them under the bus.
Well, we don't know what kind of mod this DM session is going to be, so we might have to. Now,
They're also going to include a paragraph of what their character is going to be like if they were so to be chosen.
Yes.
And we'll randomly choose, how many? Three?
I said four.
Four.
Yeah, so the DMs...
And they're going to get to join us probably on a Saturday. And Kaveen is going to DM a session for us. I'm not sure how long it'll last. I'm sure it'll be lots of fun, though.
Yeah, so we'll set up a TeamSpeak server so we can all get together and...
Okay, so how's this going to work? We're going to do the last two questions tonight.
Well, we're going to do the last question and the bonus question.
And the bonus question. And then we're probably going to wait another episode.
So this is episode 23.
To give everybody time.
So
to
we
get
will announce the winners in episode
25.
So you ready with that fourth question?
I am ready. Drum roll, please. What is the name of the main / capital city in the Gallows Bird world? Let me repeat that. What is the name of the main / capital city in the Gallows Bird world?
Okay, now that you've got that one down here, think about it. Are you ready for the bonus question? Before we tell you what the bonus question is, we'll tease you with what you get if you get the bonus question correct.
Question.
If you get the bonus question correct, this is something that Kaveen and Gallsberg came up with, they're going to give you an additional level up for your character when we start the campaign.
An extra free. Starting level.
So you'll get to pick extra characteristics for your character before we start. Could be very handy.
And that will give them an advantage in our party,
yes,
correct?
Yes, it will. So here's the bonus question. Name three other cities, towns, or villages on the main Gallows Bird continent.
I bet that's a hard one.
Yeah. So name three other cities, towns, or villages on the main Gallows Bird continent.
And actually, Kaveen did not even give us the answer. So
we'll have to confer with him to know if it's right or not. So now that you've got all the questions plus the bonus questions, you'll put that together in an email along with your short paragraph describing the character that you'd like to create and email it to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. That's all spelled out, neverwinternightspodcast.com. You'll have till... I think the way we really described this before, and I want to reiterate this again, we'll take your emails between now and the time of the next episode releases. So basically you've got about a week or a week and a half once you've heard this.
And then that'll give us another week
to pick the winners.
To pick the winners and the bonus winners.
For our main topic this week, we're going to continue a discussion we started in our previous episode about races, and we're going to talk about sub-races this week. So this is a continuation, so part two of races from what we started on last week. There are a lot of sub-races added to Neverwinter Nights 2 that you don't find listed in Neverwinter Nights 1. I know there's several persistent worlds that have come up with custom sub-races, or modules, I should just say, modules that have had systems for adding sub-races. I even think the Nordok module we played would allow you to play as a drow. I think they brought a lot of those in because they were very popular in Neverwinter Nights 1, yep. And now they're available in Neverwinter Nights 2. Just a quick rundown of the sub-races, and if we want it, we can run through each one of their skills if we'd like. The Asimar, as you just mentioned, the Drow, the Dugar, the Gold Dwarf, a Lightfoot Halfling, Moon Elf, Rock Gnome, Shield Dwarf, Strong Heart Halfling, a Sun Elf, Svirneblin, a Tiefling, and a Wood Elf.
Those are also known, Svirneblins are also known as Deep Gnomes.
Again, these are all for Neverwinter Nights 2. Carrying the blood of a Celestial, an Asimar typically fights against evil in the world. Some have a minor physical trait suggesting their heritage, such as silver hair, golden eyes, or an unnaturally intense stare. Those descended from the Celestial minion often carry a birthmark in the shape of the deity's holy symbol or some other mark significant to that faith. Their racial traits for ability adjustments are +2 wisdom and +2 charisma. They have dark visions. Asimars can see in the dark up to 60 feet. They have celestial resistance to acid, cold, and electrical resistance of 5. They have a spell-like abilities. Once per day, they can use light as sorcerers of equal level. They have keen senses, +2 racial bonus to listen and spot checks. Their favorite class is a paladin. Well, that kind of makes sense if they're always fighting against evil in the world. A multi-class Asimar paladin class does not count when determining whether she or he takes an experience point penalty for multiclassing. Level adjustments +1 Asimar are slightly more powerful and gain levels more slowly than other races. It will take more experience for an Asimar to reach level 2 than it would for normal races, for example.
The other plain-touched sub-race is Tieflings. Because they are descended from evil outsiders, those who know their ancestry immediately consider most Tieflings evil and untrustworthy. Not all Tieflings are evil or untrustworthy, but enough are that their prejudice tends to cling. Some Tieflings have a minor physical trait suggesting their heritage, such as pointed teeth, red eyes, small horns, the odor of brimstone, cloven feet, or just an unnatural aura of wrongness. Those descended from an infernal minion often carry a birthmark of the deity's holy symbol or another trait related to that evil faith. As far as racial traits, their ability adjustments are +2 dexterity, +2 intelligence, and -2 charisma. They also have dark vision, like their brother Asimar is up to 60 feet, infernal resistance, cold, fire, and electricity resistance of 5. For spell-like abilities, they have darkness as a sorcerer of equal level. For skill affinities, they are +2 racial bonus to bluff and hide checks. Their favorite class is a rogue. A multi-class Tieflings rogue class does not count when determining whether she takes an experience point penalty for multiclassing. They have a level adjustment of +1. Tieflings are slightly more powerful and gain levels more slowly than other races. It will take more experience for a Tiefling to reach level 2 than it would for normal races. Which, that's the same thing you said for Asimars, right?
Right. There are no sub-races for humans.
Right.
So we'll go to the Halfling. And you mentioned there were 2 for Halfling, a Lightfoot Halfling and a Strongheart Halfling.
Right.
So the Lightfoot Halfling is the most common type of Halfling seen in the world. The Lightfoots are the most likely to give in to their desire to wander. They are at home living side by side with folks of many different races and cultures. Their ability adjustments are a +2 dexterity and a -2 strength, and I think that's common for both of them. They are small. As a small creature, a Halfling gains a +1 size bonus to armor class, a +1 size bonus to attack rolls, and a +3 size bonus to hide checks, but they use smaller weapons than humans, and their lifting and carrying limits are 3/4 of those of medium characters.
Did you say plus three or plus four of size bonus to hide checks?
Plus three.
Okay, the Strongheart has a plus four.
So everything else on the...
Everything else was the same.
Okay. The Lightfoot is stealthy. They get a plus two racial bonus to move silently checks.
As does the Strongheart.
The Fearless, they have plus two morale bonus to saving throws against fear.
Same.
They have a good aim for the plus one racial bonus to attack rolls with thrown weapons and slings.
Same for Strongheart.
They have keen hearing, which is a plus two racial bonus to listen checks.
Yep.
And they're lucky. They get a plus one racial bonus for all saving throws.
Oh, well, the Strongheart, however, has a quick to master instead of that feat.
No, so there is a slight difference there.
One extra feat at first level.
Their favored class is a rogue, so they won't incur a penalty, XP penalty for multiclassing if their rogue is their favorite class.
As is the Strongheart, same.
Halflings have long had to rely on stealth, wit, and skill, and the vocation of rogues comes naturally to them.
While the Lightfoot halflings value the experience of travel and the sight of new lands and peoples, the Stronghearts are more organized, orderly, and an industrious race. They are built to last and fiercely defend their homelands against threats from which their Lightfoot kin would simply flee. Strongheart halflings enjoy athletic contests and value exceptional skill of all kinds. So that's probably why they get the quick to master.
Yeah, sounds like it.
There's two different types of gnomes, rock gnome and deep gnome. Rock gnomes are the most common type of gnomes in the region and are usually just called gnomes since they are the only sort that surface dwellers ever see. Equipped by nature with keen curiosity and a knack for mechanical workings, gnomes excel at intricate crafts such as gem cutting, toy making, and clockwork engineering.
And the deep gnome, or this is Verneblin. See, you did that to me just so I'd have to say this again. Sverneblin. They're hidden in the depths of the Underdark and hidden in the depths of the Underdark live the Sverneblin, or deep gnomes. Reclusive, suspicious, and resentful of intrusion into their cavern homes, the deep gnome share little of the humor openness of their surface cousins. The deep gnomes may be the world's stealthiest and most elusive folk. Centuries upon centuries of surviving the deadly perils of the Underdark have bred in this race an amazing gift for avoiding attention.
Rock gnomes have ability adjustments of plus two constitution and minus two strength.
The deep gnomes have ability adjustments plus two dexterity, plus two wisdom, minus two strength, and minus four charisma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
Big difference there. They have a trait of small. As a small creature, a gnome gains a plus one size bonus to armor class, a plus one size bonus to attack rolls, and a plus four size bonus to hide checks. But she uses smaller weapons than humans use, and their lifting and carrying limits are 3/4 of those of medium characters.
And the gold deep gnomes are the same on that one.
They have light, low vision. A gnome can see twice as far as a human in starlight, moonlight, torchlight, and similar conditions of poor illumination.
The deep gnomes have dark vision instead. They have, and they can see in the dark up to 120 feet.
Wow. Rock gnome, or the gnome, also has hardiness versus illusions, plus two racial bonus to saving throws against illusions.
Deep gnome also has stone cunning, which is a plus two bonus for search checks when inside, and they have the illusion affinity, which is the same plus one to the difficulty class for all saving throws against illusion spells cast by gnomes. This next sense is really important too for these guys. This adjustment stacks with those from similar effects, such as the spell focus feat. So this plus one can be stacked on top of the others.
Rock gnomes have battle training versus goblinoids, reptilians, and giants. So that what that means is for goblinoids, which include goblins, hobgoblins, and bugbears, they have a plus one racial bonus to attack. And for reptilians, they have a plus one racial bonus to attack rolls against kobolds. And for giants, they have a plus four dodge bonus to their armor class against monsters of the giant type, such as orgs, trolls, and hill giants.
As do we do here, as the deep gnomes do, the battle training versus goblinoids gets a plus one racial bonus, and they have a battle training versus reptilians, which is a plus one racial bonus against kobolds.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a slippery defense.
Ooh.
Plus four dodge bonus to armor class against all opponents.
Oh, wow. So they don't have the training versus giants.
Nope.
Instead, they have the slippery thing?
Slippery defense.
Okay. Gnomes also have keen hearing and keen smell, which are plus two racial bonus to listen checks and plus two racial bonus to craft alchemy checks.
The deep gnomes have that as well. Plus, they also have a durability of plus two bonus on all saving throws.
Their favorite class is a bard. Multi-class gnomes' bard class does not count when determining whether they take an experience point penalty.
Well, deep gnomes also have some spell-like abilities. Once a day, they can do blindness as sorcerer of equal level, entropic shield as sorcerer of equal level, and invisibility as sorcerer of equal level. They also have a spell resistance. Spell resistance of 11 plus character level. Their favorite class is a rogue.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't take an XP penalty for the rogue. I think that's what you said the other one was as well.
No, the other one was bard.
Bard, okay. So there's a difference there on the favorite classes as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's level adjustments for the deep gnome. It has a plus 3 level adjustment. Deep gnomes are more powerful and gain levels more slowly than other races. It will take much more experience for a deep gnome to reach level 2 than it would for a normal race.
Elves have 4 sub-races. Moon elves, sun elves, wood elves, and dark elves. Dark elves are also known as drow. The most common race of elves are graceful but frail, with plus 2 dexterity and minus 2 constitution. Sun elves lack their cousin's agility, but have powerful intellect instead. The reclusive wood elves are stronger than other elves, but less cerebral and intuitive. The drow of the Underdark are blessed with great intellect and charm, though they are hindered by daylight. Moon elves are the most common sort of elves in Faerûn. Also called silver elves, they have fair skin, sometimes tinged with blue, and hair of silver white, black, or blue. Their eyes are blue or green with gold specks. They are the elven subrace most tolerant of humankind, and most half-elves are descended from moon elves.
The sun elves are less common across Faerûn than moon elves because most live on Evermead, where non-elves are not allowed. Also called gold elves, they have bronze skin, golden blonde, copper or black hair, and green or gold eyes. These are seen as the most civilized and haughty elves, preferring to remain separate from non-elven races.
So they're snobs.
Yeah, pretty much. Sounds like it.
moon elves have ability adjustments of plus 2 dexterity and minus 2 constitution. What do your sun elves have?
Sun elves' ability adjustments are plus 2 intelligence and minus 2 constitution.
Moon elves have hardiness versus enchantments. They have immunity to magic, sleep effects, plus 2 racial bonus to saving throws against enchantment spells or effects.
Sun elves do too.
They have low light vision. As an elf, they can see twice as far as a human.
Low light is the same racial trait for a sun elf.
Moon elves have a weapon proficiency. Elves receive the martial weapon proficiency feats for the long sword, rapier, longbow, including composite longbow, and shortbow, including composite shortbow, as bonus feats.
And sun elf is the same.
They have keen senses, plus 2 racial bonuses to listen, search, and spot checks.
I need a price check on aisle 7.
An elf who merely passes within 5 feet of a secret or concealed door is entitled to a search check to notice it as if she were actually looking for it.
Keen senses is also on the sun elf with the +2 racial bonus on listen, search, and spot checks.
There
was a distance on the other one 5 feet?
Yes, sir.
Yep, because of that's the same.
Okay. Moon elf's favorite class is a wizard.
Same here.
Okay. Multi-class moon elf's wizard class does not count when determining whether they take an experience point penalty for multi-classing. Wizardry comes naturally to elves. Indeed, they sometimes claim to have invented it. And fighter wizards are especially common among them.
That would be even more so probably on the haughty sun elf, thinking that they admitted they invented wizardry.
Haughty.
Okay, so that covered the...
sun and moon.
Sun and moon. Now let's do the wood and drow.
Wood elves are reclusive, but less so than the almost feral wild elves. Also called copper elves. They have copper.
Wait, where did the feral wild elves come from?
I don't know, that's what it says.
That one's not on the list, man.
Maybe that's a subclass of wood elves. I don't know.
Who knows?
Also called copper elves. They have coppery skin tinged with green and brown.
Well, those are the copper tone elves.
And they have brown, green, or hazel eyes. Their hair is usually brown or black, with blonde and coppery red occasionally found.
The drow are descended from the original dark-skinned elven subrace called the Ilthiri. The drow were cursed into their present appearance by the good elven deities for following the goddess Lolth down the path to evil and corruption.
Goddess who?
It's Lolth, L-O-L-T-H.
Okay.
Also called dark elves, the drow have black skin that resembles polished obsidian, not like the company, but like the stone, and stark white or pale yellow hair. They commonly have very pale eyes in shades of lilac, silver, pink, and blue. They also tend to be smaller and slimmer than most elves. Their racial traits, for their ability adjustments, they have a +2 dexterity, +2 intelligence, +2 charisma, and a -2 constitution.
Wood elves have +2 strength, +2 dexterity, -2 constitution, and -2 intelligence.
Looks like they both have a hardiness versus enchantments, the immunity to magical sleep effects, +2 racial bonus to saving throws against enchantment spells or effects.
Yes. And they both have low light vision, I would assume.
Let's see. The drow has a...
dark vision.
Dark vision.
Wood elf does not have dark vision.
They both have a weapon proficiency. The drow receive the martial weapon proficiency feats for the longsword, rapier, longbow, including the composite longbow, and shortbow, including composite shortbow as bonus feats, which I think that's pretty consistent through all four of them.
Yes, as well as keen senses.
Right, so that's still that +2 racial bonus to listen, search, yep, and spot checks on keen senses. A drow has... one-a-day spell-like abilities.
Well, the wood elf does not.
Okay. They have once a day you can do darkness and see invisibility as sorcerers of an equal level.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got spell resistance. They have a spell resistance of 11 plus character level. Strong will, a +2 racial bonus to will saves against spells and spell-like abilities. This is for the drow again. And light sensitivity. Drow suffer a -2 circumstance penalty to attack rolls, saves, and checks in bright sunlight. Now, their favorite class is a wizard.
What else favorite class is a ranger?
So those would be the ones that wouldn't take an XP penalty. Mm-hmm. And then there's a level adjustment for the drow. A +2 level adjustment. Drow are more powerful and gains level more slowly than other races. So this is one of those other races that it's going to take more XP to get to the next level than a normal race.
Okay, and that takes us to the last two for dwarves, correct?
Actually, there's three for dwarves.
Oh, sorry, there is three.
Shield dwarves, gold dwarves, and gray dwarves, also known as the Dugar.
Shield dwarves The dwarven kingdoms of long ago became locked in eternal wars with goblin kind and other dwellers in the Underdark. One by one, the dwarven empires of the north failed, leaving only scattered survivors in the mountains or unconquered sections of the Underdark. The clans that survive these battles are the Shield Dwarves, and they are the most common type of dwarf seen throughout the realms.
For the Gold Dwarves maintained their great kingdom in the Great Rift and managed to survive terrible wars against evil humanoids. While they practiced some magic, they never acquired the hubris that caused the downfall of some human nations. Confident and secure in their remote home, the Gold Dwarves gained a reputation for haughtiness and pride. Well, there they go again. There's another one of them. Since the Thunder Blessing, many young Gold Dwarves have left the Great Rift and are exploring the rest of the region. The folk of other lands have learned that while some Gold Dwarves are aloof and suspicious, for the most part they are forthright warriors and shrewd traders.
After rising up against their Mind Flayer enslavers, the Grey Dwarves, or Dugar, emerged as a new subrace of dwarf with limited mental powers. Dugar on the whole are evil, but some turn their backs on their fellows and seek a different sort of life. Male and female Dugar are bald, and women do not grow beards. They are much thinner than other dwarves, with severe facial expressions, gray hair, and gray skin.
All three of them have ability adjustments of +2 constitution and -2 dexterity. Oh, sorry, I'm wrong. The Dugar does not. The Dugar is different.
+2 constitution and -4 charisma.
Well, so I just messed that completely up, because the Shield Dwarf is also different. Okay. The ability adjustments for the Shield Dwarf are +2 constitution and -2 charisma.
For Dugar, it's +2 constitution and -4 charisma.
And for the Gold Dwarf, it's +2 constitution and -2 dexterity.
Okay. The Dugar has dark vision.
As the Gold Dwarf does as well.
Oh.
And the Shield Dwarf. And both of them have +2 bonuses for search checks inside for stone cunning.
The Dugar actually has a weapon familiarity. Dwarven war axes are treated as martial weapons rather than exotic weapons.
And the other Shield and Gold Dwarf both have that as well. The Gold Dwarf also has a lore affinity of +2 bonus to lore checks, as the Shield Dwarf does as well.
The Dugar does not have that.
And then they both have a +2 racial bonus for hardiness versus poisons. Both mean gold and shield dwarfs.
Dugar does not have that. They have hardiness versus spells. +2 racial bonus, same throws against spells and spell-like effects.
Yep. The Shield Dwarf and the Gold Dwarf have that as well.
Well, that's the only thing that the Dugar has as far as hardiness. The Dugar has stone cunning. Do the others two have that? +2 bonus to search checks when inside?
Yes. That must have been a different order on the Dugar.
On the Dugar, they have immunity to poison, phantasms, and paralysis.
Neither one of the other two have that. They get into their battle training next. Battle training versus giants. The Shield Dwarf has a +4 dodge bonus on armor class against monsters of the giant type, such as ogres, trolls, and hill giants.
As does the Dugar.
And the Gold Dwarf has that +4 dodge bonus against him as well. Then there's the battle training versus aberrations. There's a +1 bonus on attack rolls against aberrations for the Gold Dwarf.
Dugar does not have that.
And neither does the Shield Dwarf. The Shield Dwarf has a battle training versus orcs and goblinoids +1 racial bonus on half-orcs, goblinoids including goblins, hobgoblins, and bugbears.
As does the Dugar.
Okay. The favored class for a Gold Dwarf is a fighter.
Favorite
as it is for the Shield Dwarf.
Same as Dugar. Dugars also have stealthy. They have a +4 bonus to move silently and keen senses. They also have some spell-like abilities. Once a day they have enlarge as a wizard twice the Dugar's level, minimum third level. and they have invisibility as a wizard twice to Duergar's level. They also have light sensitivity. They have a -2 circumstance penalty to attack rolls, saves and checks in bright sunlight. Do the other two have a level adjustment?
No, that was it for those. Favorite class of fighter.
Duergar has a level adjustment of +2, so they are more powerful and gain levels more slowly than other races. So it will take them much more experience for Duergar to reach level 2.
So that concludes our discussion on races and sub-races. Be sure and join us next week when we'll dive into class 2. We'll be taking a class at a time and going through each one of them, talking about their stats and their feats, and a little bit about how to play a good character with that class. So thanks for listening, and if you have questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. And don't forget to send in your answers to the DM-led event podcast. Or you can post your comments, not your answer to the question, though, but you can post comments on our forum located on our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com.
Also, while you're on our site, you can add your shout-out to our Frapper mat by clicking the Frapper logo. If you're a member of the mod team and would like to have your module featured on the Mod Spotlight, check out the Submit a Mod Spotlight page on our website. So until next week, get in game.
Level up.